So I have to admit, this gospel text is one of the hardest texts to preach when the church is filled with little children. Not because they make noise, but because the children are like, why didn't they share? They were supposed to share. Their sharing is good. Why did they not share with those who needed some, Father? I'm like, oh my goodness. All right, so this is a parable not about sharing, okay? It's about something else. We see in the first reading, wisdom. Wisdom is a welcome guest. Wisdom is one that is invited into our life. The importance of wisdom. She is referred to as wisdom because Sophia, the word in Greek, which means wisdom, is feminine. And so we keep calling her she. But this idea of the personification of wisdom, that wisdom is not just information, knowledge, but it is about relationship. It is about being invited into a relationship with another. We turn to the gospel text, and the gospel text is pretty straightforward. There are five foolish virgins that recognize the adjective foolish, and five who are wise. Okay, so this is a comparison, not a character defect in them, but foolishness and wisdom. Those who are wise know the bridegroom. How do I know that? Because they took extra oil. They know him. Now, do we have to talk about people in our life that we know? We just know, right? What time they're going to show up, right? So at this time, we're there. It's like, you get the text message, I'm on my way. I'm almost there. And you're like, it's okay. Relax. I know you. I already anticipated that you were going to be a little late. I'm trying not to make eye contact with anyone because they're like, Father, you called me out. Like, no, we're not doing that, right? But as you know people, as you know family, right? As I was working at Our Lady of Guadalupe in Topeka, and I would show up right on time when something was supposed to start, and I'd be like, wow, no one is here. And they're like, oh, Father, they'll be here over the next hour. I'm like, okay. Did I get the time wrong? They're like, no, this is just Mexican time. Just relax. They'll all be here. They will be here. You know, here, sit down, have a cup of coffee, and wait. They'll be here soon. You know, these kinds of things. When we know people, we can anticipate these things. And we're not anxious. We're not worried about it. We see that those who were wise knew the bridegroom. They anticipated, in their knowledge of him, knowing him, they brought extra oil. Those who were foolish, who don't know the bridegroom, brought what they thought was equivalent or necessary. The line in this about the oil that I find that is most profound is the very last line in this gospel. It is the one that it's very difficult for me to hear coming out of the mouth of Jesus. And I presume Jesus as the bridegroom. Keep getting some feedback on the thing. So Jesus as the bridegroom, he's talking about a bridegroom and, you know, Lord, Lord, let us in. And he says, I don't know you. I cannot think of more painful words to come out of the mouth of Jesus to me. I don't know you. I've never known you. Go away. So it expresses to us, you know, because it expresses to us that the oil that is prepared, the oil that is a part of it, the oil that one invests in and is prepared for the coming of Jesus is much more than just oil. It's not about a money investment. It is about a time investment into knowing the bridegroom. It is something that simply can't be given from one to another to share. Our lamps are going out. Give us some of your oil. No. It can't be given. Can you two people and you're in relationship with another, And that person's like, man, my relationship is so lacking with this person. You're like, ah, no worries. Here, have some of my intimacy with them. There you go. Man, this is much better, right? Yeah, I know, right? You can't give intimacy away. It's something that comes through the process of dying to self and of living life together and sharing that life. This intimacy, it can't simply be shared and given away. Moms and dads, you cannot give your intimacy with Jesus to your children. And it can't be their relationship with Jesus is through you. You have to help foster that they would know who Jesus is, that you would foster and example that and encourage that so that they would have a real relationship of intimacy and love with God. God has no grandkids. He only has sons and daughters. So the intimacy, the call must come from you. It must be a response of each of us into this invitation of intimacy. That's it. Invitation for intimacy, my brothers and sisters. All right? We done? No, we're not done? Okay, I'll give you another one. All right. Now, just thinking about it, right? We can just end it and say, here, here's your call to intimacy. Do it. You should do it. God wants this of you. He wants you to be known in His love, in His mercy, to abide in that, right? He wants this of you. So I give you the invitation. Do it. You should do this. This is a good thing for you. But I understand in offering that to you, how does that sit with you? How do you receive that? Are you burdened by that? Ah, man. Come on, Father. Just gave me another thing that's on my list of things to do. Right? How do we receive that? So this is very important. In your freedom, the freedom that you have as a redeemed son and daughter of God, freedom that has been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb, freedom that has been restored in you by having mastery over sin in your life, freedom that is yours as a beloved son and daughter of God, must be engaged in this invitation. An easy way to say all of those words I said is, you need to be able to say yes to this invitation. You need to be able to say yes to this invitation. It seems like we get in the habit when we're growing up, when we engage our freedom and our it's newly formed within us, and we're as a child, all of a sudden we experience that we have freedom. And there's this one word that we use to express our freedom very early on. It's two letters long, and we say it often with gusto. Right? All right, kids, grab your coats. We're gonna load up, we're gonna do this. No. Right? And that you had to learn to stomp your foot at the same time. No, right? Even the little one coming out of the door over there, she knows this word. No. Manifesting my freedom. My liberty. Right? And it seems that in the context of family, we learn that the expression of our freedom comes in rebellion. That it's in rebellion that I am free. It is in rebellion that I manifest this new power that I have. My older siblings, I got four older sisters and my older brother, they learned early on if they wanted to mess with me, like I wanted to do something, they would just tell me to do it. And then I would be like, maybe I don't want to do that. No, go ahead, Anthony. Go ahead. Go ahead and go ride your bike. Go ahead and do this. And I'd be like, no. And they would just mess with me because they knew they could manipulate it, because I have so many older brothers and sisters telling me to do all the time. I wanted to do it by myself. I wanted to do things that I wanted to do. I didn't want to be told what to do. And even though I wanted to do it, them telling me to do it would keep me from doing it. There's something within ourselves. We get this understanding of our freedom as a means to rebel, as a means to rebel. But what I want you to understand today, in the invitation that I have given to you with intimacy with Jesus, Engage your freedom and choose it. Say yes. You know, it seems that we flex the muscles of rebellion with our freedom all the time, but how often do you flex the muscles of your affirming the good in your life, of choosing the good in your life? What do we do? Well, I know that God says not to do this, so I should do this. I shouldn't do that. I should do this. I should do that. This is good. I know it's good. My parents have told me to do it. All this, that, all right, so whatever, I'm going to do it, right? But we never actually engage our freedom and say, it is good that I do this. I am choosing to do this in my freedom, in my will. I say yes and amen to taking out the trash. Okay, we have to flex those muscles of the choosing of the good. Why? Because if we don't, we can find ourselves not acting as beloved sons and daughters of God, but acting in a slave mentality. A slave of a household has no choice. Take out the trash. Well, I should take out the trash because it's my job, and I'm going to take the trash out. I don't really want to, and then I hang around waiting for the next list of things to do. And I should do it, and I have to do it. It's just the way it is. This is a slave mentality, my brothers and sisters. It is not appropriate for those who are beloved sons and daughters of God, who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, who have received the Spirit of God to dwell within them, who have an inheritance as beloved sons and daughters in the household. It is under you to have this kind of mentality when it comes to the invitation of God. We need to start practicing saying yes to the good. One, because it gets us out of this slave mentality, and it makes us understand that we are beloved sons and daughters of God, and that our freedom is not the problem. You having free will is not the problem. I know that there are times in your life which you would say to God, please just take my freedom away. You make the decision for me and make it happen. All right? I want to be exempted from this decision. I don't want to have the choice in it because I don't really want to take responsibility for it. But that's beside the point because I just don't want to screw it up. So you just do it. Take my freedom away in this. But the fullness of redemption, the fullness of transformation in Jesus Christ is not the removal of your freedom. Like a, what would that be called? An appendectomy takes out your appendix. A freedodectomy? I don't know, like this operation in which God removes and extracts your freedom so that you can't screw it up. That somehow, like in entering into the fullness of redemption, God has to take something from you that actually he gave to you at the beginning. Just because it can be used wrongly. We need to start choosing the good. Like literally choosing it. Not just knowing the good. Because, and if you want to know the good, read the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Open up the Scriptures. Hear and understand the good. But we need to choose it. In your freedom, flex that muscle. Choose the good. The last aspect of this is, one, you're operating as a beloved son and daughter of God. But two, by choosing in your freedom, love is the consequence. I enter into that new situation of choosing in love because my freedom is engaged. Without freedom, there is no love. All of the marriage prep paperwork I go through, it's all about, you know, are you free? Is anybody holding a shotgun to you? It doesn't actually say shotgun, but it says, you know, more or less it says those things. Are you free to enter into this commitment? Are there any situations or extraneous circumstances which might affect the success of this marriage? Are you free? Are you free? Are you free? Because if you're not free, then love can't be a part of it. And when someone comes to me and they're all starry-eyed and they're like, so you're freed in there? Like, no, when I met them, I was just ravished by their beauty or ravished by their handsomeness. I am so not free. I am a slave to this attraction that I have and the chemistry of this relationship. It's like, get out of here. Get out of here. Because if you're not free, get out of here because you need to be free in order to enter into marriage. Because that chemistry, that will end. But your freedom and your will needs to be engaged in this. You need to choose this. And in choosing it, love will be a part of that gift. In choosing it, when it becomes difficult, you'll be like, yeah, but I chose this. I'm entering in. The situations of life come. This is hard. Yeah, it's life. Welcome. Not like, you know, like you're welcome, but like welcome to life, right? It's the reality. So two simple points today. An invitation for intimacy with the Lord. Be known by Him. He knows you. But spend that time with Him. How do I increase intimacy with the Lord? Spend time with Him. Not talking at Him, but spend time with Him. How do you get to grow in intimacy with someone? Spend time with them. Listen to their heart. Listen to their desires. Do things with them. You're entering into a relationship with a divine person, not an idea. And in that intimacy, my brothers and sisters, when the good is revealed in your life, when the good is revealed, do not be prideful in it. And choose it. Choose the good. It's there before you. You are free. It's an invitation. Choose the good that is before you. And love will come forth from that gift. You'll not be a slave. God didn't redeem you in order to enslave you anew. It came that you would be a beloved son and daughter of His, who in the freedom of their will can say yes and enter into love. Amen.